imagine yourself living in a place that has been the land of your ancestors for some 2,000 years. That's difficult for us to imagine in a country that's only a few hundred years old itself. Your people are proud and pious. In fact, your religious fervor is one of the sources of that pride. Despite that rich heritage, your homeland has been invaded, conquered, and ruled by a foreign government for over 60 years. And though that government gave some freedom for you to practice your religious and cultural traditions, it was a disgrace to have to submit to the authority of those high and mighty people who looked down on you and your land as some sort of backwoods, hick country full of uneducated, third-rate citizens. For years, your people had talked about the promise your God had made of a Messiah rising up, a descendant of your nation's greatest and most loved King, David. The prophecies told of his eternal reign. People are certain it could happen at any time. And though it's been the cry of your people for generations, you still believe it's true and long for its fulfillment. You might sing a song such as this.
Thank you.
then one night, a child is born. If there had been a local newspaper reporting on the events of that birth, there would have been some fairly serious questions as to what it meant. The headline of the article could have appropriately been titled, "What Child Is This?" It may not have been that unusual for a young mother to give birth in a stable, especially to such an oppressed people living under the heavy hand of a foreign army. But had that been this child's only distinguishing characteristic, the story would have been unknown. Just an embarrassed and poor teenage mother giving birth in a barn with the help of her husband. Nothing to see here. The shame of such a situation would have guaranteed the secrecy, such that no one would have been privy to any of the details. But something was different about this child. And so we should ask, what child is this? So long ago, he has burst onto the scene in this sleepy little burg, where in centuries gone by, a young shepherd boy was called to be king. This little town, the hometown of the late great King David, was now the birthplace of the King of Kings. We sing next of the little town of Bethlehem, but pay attention to the words of the song, and you'll quickly learn that the town was only the stage upon which this amazing story unfolded.
Oh,
cast out our sins and enter in. Be born in us today. It's a strange thing to sing of a baby. The fact is that the babe lying in a manger did not have that ability yet. That day could not come until many other things were fulfilled. The prophecies fulfilled to this point in the events leading up to and including his birth were events in which this Christ was a mere pawn. Where a baby is born, to whom he is born, who is present at and announces his birth, those are all things that a human baby cannot control. Soon this child would grow into a man who would make decisions, obey his heavenly Father's will perfectly, and submit regularly and humbly to things that would conquer sin once and for all. The sinless life this baby would grow up to live would give him the ability as no other to satisfy the legal requirements of death for sin on behalf of any and all who would trust in him for salvation from sin. This is the good news we celebrate and declare not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. When one understands that fact, one must conclude that the night this baby was born was, in a very special way, a holy night. It is a night of which we sing, knowing that it represents the beginning of the end for sin's reign in the life of those who would turn in faith to the one later crucified and risen, Jesus Christ, who was born on that night. Makes it important, exciting, and holy. We will, many of us, exchange gifts, eat big meals, and engage in other cherished family traditions tonight and tomorrow. And realistically, we'll probably fairly quickly lose sight of that holy night as we engage in a flurry of activity. That doesn't mean we cannot remember and consider, at least in this moment, the reason we celebrate, the reason we have to celebrate. As neat as Christmas and the focus on the birth of Jesus is, it is his death and resurrection that offers the real hope. The fact is that Christians didn't celebrate the birth of Jesus for the first few hundred years at all. Yes, it was important, but it was and remains his death, not his birth, that Jesus instructed the church to celebrate and remember through the regular communal breaking of bread and drinking the fruit of the vine together. This is the thing in which we rest. As we sing the words to this next song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, listen to the words. God rest, ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. And why? To save us all from Satan's power. That babe lying in a manger lacked that power until he died on the cross. That is when he conquered Satan and sin. And it is of this we sing, that even he did that even, as the song says, when we were gone astray, when we were spitting in his face and saying, I don't want anything to do with you. He did that for us. And he literally did that for many who on that day cried out, crucify him, crucify him. He died for them. And guess what? They represent you and I. When we sin, we declare, crucify him. When we reject him, we say, crucify him. We don't want you. And in the midst of that, Jesus came to earth and died for you and for me. These are the tidings of comfort and joy. And now to the Lord, we'll sing praises all within this place. And with true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace this holy tide of Christmas. All others doth deface. As many in our around us deface Christmas, we embrace it together. Let's sing this last song together. Shifted, if only for a short time, from gifts and food, family, festivities. Now, those are all well and good. But of course, they can become sources of pain and even depression when those cherished expectations cannot be adequately met. You may be leaving here this evening to go back to engaging in your own Christmas traditions tonight and tomorrow. I'll be doing that with my family. Or you may be dreading leaving this place, as Christmas makes you more keenly aware of things or relationships you lack. In either case, I pray that this time has moved your focus off those things and on to Jesus. As you consider Jesus this evening, I challenge you to think of him as not just another Christmas tradition or a fairy tale type character that exists to bring deeper meaning to our activities. In fact, you need to look beyond the manger scene depicted over here to my right. And as wonderful as that may be, if we stop there, there is no hope. Just a heartwarming story of a baby born to poor parents in a sleepy little town called Bethlehem. The hope that comes with Jesus comes because of his sinless life and his obedient death on a cross, a cruel Roman cross, and his victorious resurrection from the dead. It is in this place, in this, that we place our hope of eternal salvation from sin, looking forward to the day when he returns to claim his rightful inheritance as ruler of the earth. If you're here tonight and you've never made a decision of your will to trust completely in what Jesus did when he died in your place for your sins on a cross, you have no eternal hope. Well, this story is nothing special to you until you look beyond the birth and to his sacrificial death on your behalf. I would ask you to do that tonight, even as we close in prayer. Will you pray with me now? Father God, we thank you for Jesus, for sending him to this earth to be born in such a humble fashion. King of kings, born in a stable, the lowliest of places. And then, Lord, to live in relative obscurity for 30-some years, finally to emerge on the scene and be praised and be seen as a great man. And all the things he could do. He was going to be the king of the Jews, the Messiah. And to be crucified as a common thief, a common criminal. And he had done no sin whatsoever. He did that for me and for each person in this room. For each one who would put their trust in that for salvation. And then, Lord, he rose from the dead, proving that he was who he said he was, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt he was who he said he was, conquering sin and death. And Lord, we long for the day when those of us who have trusted in him will join with you in heaven, will reign with you. God, I pray this evening, as there may be those here this morning who are this evening who have heard these words many times before. They know the story, they know the drill, they know sooner or later their pastor is going to give an invitation and they've got to endure it, and then they'll go home and go about their merry ways. But Lord, I pray that tonight, like no other, you would bring conviction on those who have done that, maybe for years. That they would look beyond Jesus in a manger, look to Jesus on a cross, dying for their sins in their place. God, I pray that you would help those people to see their need, their deep need for forgiveness. That they would cry out to you even now in this moment for forgiveness, trusting in what Jesus did on the cross on their behalf. God, I thank you for this message, this gospel message you've given us, the opportunity that Christmas affords us to present this message each year. I pray for those who are here this evening who may be struggling with the things that the unmet expectations that sometimes are more apparent at Christmas. I pray that you bring comfort to their hearts. Or for those who are going to leave this place and do things with family, I pray that all of us, Lord, whether it's a hard time or a joyous time, we'll be able to turn our attention from those things and to Jesus. The reason we have for hope. Thank you again, Lord, for this time, for this place. We thank you for Jesus. Put your hand on each one who leaves here now. We ask these things in his name. Amen. So if you pray this evening to receive Christ, you need to let someone know. Because Satan is not happy about decisions to follow Jesus. And if you have no support network, you will fail. So as you leave tonight, I'd love to connect with you and get some information from you so that I can follow up with you. And we can talk about the next steps of faith, including baptism. And I'm so glad that each one of you came tonight, and I trust that you've been blessed by this time. And as the cards that we've given many of you say, we'd love for you to come back Sunday if you're in the area and if you don't have a church home. Many of our regular Millard Bible Church folks are gone tonight. They're out of town even. And they would love to meet you. So I hope that you'll join us Sunday morning if you're in the area, if you don't have a church home at 10:40. Otherwise.